welcome to episode 259 of the Mandarian Orange Show. I'm Phil Vecchio.
And I am Janelle.
Yes, you are indeed. We are here with you. You've been, well, I think the last episode we talked about it.
Yeah, we did. We prepped everybody that it might be a while.
Might be a little bit. And I guess we'll talk about it in the news, but yes. How are you feeling?
I am feeling good.
Not totally better, but better.
Yeah.
Well, you know, instead of just teasing about it, let's jump into the news, and we'll talk all about what's been going on. And now the news. So we've been doing a series of challenges in the news. And we have an exciting challenge for this one.
We're ready. We're ready for the biggest challenge of them all. The
biggest challenge for us, for sure. We needed to wait until after you had surgery and you recovered because this is kind of a commitment that we're jumping into. But now you're about to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And about to go back to work. So we're getting back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Right.
We are going to do sort of a, like, I would call it a soft launch of the Patreon.
Right.
And by the time this goes live, I'm going to have the Patreon page up. I'm not going to, like, post about it a ton or promote it just yet. I'm just going to put it up there. And our challenge for you, dear listeners, is for starters to go onto the Patreon page and... You can, I think it's, I'm going to have to learn the terms here, but you either follow it or like it or subscribe to it, but whatever, but at the free tier.
Mm-hmm.
Start out with the free tier. And what we would love is to have, like, some outside perspective on, like, what does it look like? What kinds of tiers or rewards, you know, are you interested in or what would you like to see in there? And any kind of feedback like that would be super cool. And just, you know, follow it at the free level. I mean, I'm not saying don't subscribe at a higher one, but our challenge is to follow at the free level and help us to kind of get it together before we start, like, promoting it even on a higher level.
Yeah. So our challenge is don't cost money, so.
That's right. Of course, we won't decline it, like I said, but help us out there. Let us know. So it's Patreon. It's Mandarian Orange Show. And I'll get better about knowing all the right ways to talk about it as we, like, kind of grow in it together. Yes. All right. Other news, please, when you find out that information, email us at mandarianorangeshow@gmail.com. You can also write us about any other subjects. Let us know your thoughts, questions, or whatever. Where else can they find us, Janelle?
You can also find us on Instagram. Did I say that right? Instagram?
You're recovering. It's close enough.
YouTube, TikToks, and Fountain.
Yes. While you're looking up our Fountain stats, I'll remind you also don't forget our Facebook page and join our group. What is our stats on Fountain? We haven't checked in a little while because of all the hubbub.
Hubbub.
What are we looking at?
We're at 4,325 stats. Sats.
Okay, what's the...
$2.76.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got 73 supporters.
All right, well, thank you everyone for supporting us on Fountain, as well as anywhere else that you listen to our show. Okay, Janelle, tell us briefly. We're not going to go into any kind of gross details or anything, but just tell us how you're doing, what's going on. You don't have to tell us anything you don't feel like telling.
Well, I had surgery last month.
Yes.
And it went well. It was a little more intense than originally anticipated. So I did have a little more recovery, you know, time to recover. But I did feel like I still lived up to my Wolverining.
You did. You did really well. Because, again, without going into detail, there were complications during the surgery, which made it a lot more intense.
Mm-hmm.
And, like you said, longer recovery time. And you didn't even know about it.
I will tell you a funny story.
Okay.
Okay? It's not gross. So, during the pre-op, you know, when they're prepping me for surgery, the doctor came in, the surgeon came in, told me, you know, it'll be... You know, maybe 45 minutes to 2 hours, and we'll do the surgery, and then you'll wake up in recovery, and you have to pee, and then you could go home.
Yeah, they wouldn't release you until you're able to
so pee. I went in to surgery. I was having a little anxiety, so they gave me something to, like, calm me down. And that's the last thing I remember. I was on the operating table when they gave it to me, but I don't remember anything.
It went much longer than they thought it
and
would.
And you don't, for those of you who have never gone under anesthesia, like, you don't dream or anything. It's just, like, you go to sleep, and then you wake up. It's, like, seconds have passed to me. So, I wake up in a recovery, and I was, like, immediately, like, I have to pee. And the nurses are, like, you don't have anything in your bladder. And I'm like, well, I really have to pee. So they, like, didn't let me get up right away, but, like, pretty much as soon as I could, they let me get up. They had to, like, undo my tubes and stuff because it hadn't been long enough for me to be off, you know, the pain medication and stuff. And I went in and I peed. And then I'm like, okay, I peed. I can go home. And they're like, okay, well, we got to call the surgeon and stuff. So sit tight for a little bit. You know, here's some ice chips. Then apparently what happened was that's what they were telling you different information than me. I just wanted to go home and pee.
From our side, my mom came down and she helped. You know, I mean, my mom is a nurse and we always love having her help out and be around for medical things. She's
very knowledgeable.
Because, like, you know, the doctor calls. It's interesting. They, like, instead of coming out to the waiting room, they, like, call you now.
Because they don't want to talk about your private information.
Yeah, so, like, the doctor called, and we had him call mom, because she knows the stuff.
Right.
I mean, I'm, like, listening in at her ear, you know, but she's the one that knows the questions to ask. I don't know what anything means. And, you know, he said, like, there were some complications. They actually had to bring in a different surgeon and another specialist to do some other things they weren't expecting. He talked about how, like, serious some of it was.
The recovery is going
to
be long.
The recovery is going to be longer. Not just, like, at home, but, like, you know, you might have to spend the night in the hospital. So, I mean, I'm, like, panicking. But my mom's like, no. She's like, you know, it's not good that there was those extra things, but it's good that they found it and took care of it.
Yeah.
And it's all, like, should be all good now. You've been healing well. It still takes a while. You're still recovering, but you're healing well as you're supposed to. So, you know, in the end, it was, like, good news. But
it wasn't anything they could have known until they got in there.
Right.
So.
But I was, like, you know, would have totally panicked if my mom wasn't there. So, after that, we're like, okay, she's going to spend the night, so we're making plans. Because the kids are at school. This is, like, during a school day. So, we were planning, like, okay, I'll go get the kids so that mom could be there in case there's any other, like, medical questions. And then maybe we, like, rotate so the kids, you know, can, because we're not going to be able to see you until you're out of recovery. Well, we're making all these plans.
Which they said would be, like, 6 hours.
Yeah, they said at least 6 hours and maybe you'd have to spend the night. So we came up with this plan, you know, what order we're going to do it. And then mom got another, no, they actually called my phone because we had them call me for, like, the recovery because I had to go get the car. So they called me up right as we finished that figuring out. And they're like, okay, she's ready to go. Go pick up the car or go bring the car around. And I'm like, well, I thought they said like 5 hours or something. They're like, no, she's ready now. I'm like, okay. So I like ran out, got the car, and we had like parked really far. I didn't know it was going to be like that quickly.
I didn't even take the 2 hours they said if everything went normal in recovery.
No, we were there like longer than we thought we would be, but during the surgery time, your recovery was like shorter than they had originally said. I mean, hospital recovery. Obviously, you weren't like recovered. So anyway, I go and pull the car around. You're already like at the front of the hospital when I get there. And you climb in, and they're like, okay, she's all ready to go.
I was woozy, and I obviously didn't feel good. And I was just like, just get me home, because all I want to be, when I'm in pain, I just like to sit on the toilet.
Yep.
That's where I want to be.
Back and forth from bed to toilet,
that's
basically.
That's where I really, you know, feel comfortable.
Yes.
On a toilet.
Not even when you're recovering, just in the normal times.
Yes.
So, you know, we had the paperwork, so we knew what to do. And you climbed in, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. Can you believe, like, what happened with the surgery? And you're like, what do you mean? I don't know anything. I just woke up. And I'm like, they didn't tell you all the stuff? And
she's like, you know, no.
You know, so I had to, like, do my best from my layman's understanding of it to tell you, like, okay, this happened, and this happened, and they had to bring the surgeon in, and this happened. And you're like, I didn't know any of that. I just woke up and went pee, and then they said I could go.
I did notice, too, that I had an extra, because this is a robotic laparoscopic mm-hmm. surgery, they did have to make an extra hole.
Yeah, there was four instead of three incisions because of the extra stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, I was totally clueless. I'm sure there's a reason they don't tell the person that's on pain.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
IV pain medication.
But then it was left to me because we had driven two cars so that Mom and I could coordinate. So I was the one driving you home. And I'm
like, it was funny because they were like, I mean, all they were telling me in the recovery room was how fast I came out of it. And they said something about me having a show because I'm watching all these other patients come in and they're not waking up. They're like shaking them and they're like, I guess they need to sleep a little longer. You're like, and they're like, you have a really good position. Like here in the, you can watch all the drama unfold. And I was like, I just want to go home and sit on the toilet, please. I don't want to go to your toilet anymore. I did go to their toilet four times.
And they're during like, I guess she's ready to go.
During my short time.
Yeah.
Four times.
Well, and then you've been home for a few weeks. Again, recovering on schedule, but challenging still.
Yeah, it definitely is nothing unexpected. I mean, the extra stuff during the surgery was, but the recovery hasn't been.
According to plan.
I had to take a little more time off, but not more time than they originally said.
I've really enjoyed having you home.
Yes.
It's, you know, not a very productive time.
No.
Because, A, you know, a little extra work taking care of you and doing all this stuff because the kids are still going to school and we still have the house to run. But then when you and I are home alone, especially when you can't.
Get anything.
Like, you can, you've, for a most
of it. It's not like I can.
Bed to chair, basically, you know, with some, a little walking in between.
Yeah, because they said, you know, walk, walk, walk. So I've walked up and down the hallway because I don't want to, like, go out on a trail and hurt myself.
But that means that there's been a lot of board games, video games, movie and TV watching and just kind of hanging out. You'd think, you know, we probably should have recorded a bunch in between there, but you couldn't sit up.
I couldn't even sit on the couch at first because our couch is too sinky.
But we're doing it now because you are going back
soon.
You're going back soon. As of this recording, you've got like a little less than a week and you're going to go back. You're getting there. It's a good sign of recovery that you can podcast.
Yeah.
You're awake.
I'm on the road to recovery. I know. I slept so much.
There was a lot
for me. Like, man, a lot of day sleeping and then a lot of like, hey, can you wake up with me at 1 in the morning and do something?
There was a lot of that. There was a lot. Your schedule.
But I know you had to, like, get up.
Yeah, I got to get up at 7 in the morning to take the kids to school. But you're like, I just, like, can't sleep right now. You want to watch a TV show? And I'm like, okay.
Phil has been an amazing caretaker. He takes care of the whole house and family. And I'm so happy.
Just remember this when I have a surgery.
You did have a little something.
Well, I went and got a CAT scan. That was exciting. No results yet, though. We should really look
call
at
about
that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's enough about all the medical stuff. Probably more than you wanted to know, but I hope not too much detail.
If you do want to know more detail, feel free to reach out.
Yeah.
We could give you the 411. It's not, I just don't want to gross anybody out.
Yeah, I think we kept it pretty not gross. Hopefully so.
So. If peeing grosses you out.
I mean, you're going to talk about pee on the show anyway. That's nothing new. We also have kind of a cool, exciting thing. Audrey, well, you know, the kids are back in school. Audrey's still on the improv team, and her improv team got a new sponsor.
Yeah.
They have a thing where you can, like, you know, a business or company or whatever can sponsor the team, and they get, like, a banner that they hang up at the front of the stage.
During their shows.
And they got a sponsor. And it's the Mandarian Orange Show.
Yeah, we decided to sponsor our daughter's improv team.
And probably our son's improv team when he gets to high school, too.
Probably. He's looking like he wants to do it.
So, they've done a couple of, like, pre-shows and stuff, but their first real game of the season is coming up in October. And our banner, if all goes well, I mean, it should be, because Long as they keep up their end of the bargain anyway, because our stuff is already submitted. We'll have a banner up, so we'll take a picture, and I'm sure that'll be like the episode picture and
that
stuff.
That will.
Definitely. Of the banner. So it's kind of fun. And speaking of Audrey, she's also at that age when she's learning to drive.
Yeah, she officially passed her written test for her learner's permit. 40 questions now. 40.
Yeah, I feel like it was questions. Way more intense than when we did it. But I don't know. It's been a long time, so I don't remember that much. But
she got her permit. We went to, well, I didn't go, but you and Audrey went to driving school to learn a little bit about how to teach her to drive.
Yeah, they have like a half an hour thing where the parent comes in and like you meet with the instructor and stuff. And then before she does her first behind the wheel, she's got to get 11 hours of driving, 10 during the day and 1 at night with me or you, but it's me since A, you're recovering, and B,
you don't want to. I took care of elementary school.
Yeah. Apparently this falls under my purview, so.
This is the teen stuff.
We've done several sessions of driving around, mostly in empty parking lots and such.
I've been there. I have a lot of anxiety as a passenger because I've been in, I think, eight car accidents as a passenger.
Yeah.
And then one as a driver, but it really wasn't my fault at all.
It
was not your fault.
It was a hit and run.
So being just like, it's hard for me to be a teacher when I have so much anxiety. I think once she gets a little smoother.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
I can handle it, but.
It's not that easy for me either. It's stressful, and I'm really trying, and I hopefully am doing a good job of, like, not being, like, you know, yelling or, like, mean or grouchy or anything about it, but it is terrifying, and I want to scream, like, not in anger, but just in terror, but I feel like I'm doing my best I can, so it'll get there.
Yeah, it's just a lot, especially since, you know, it's just a different time, like, when I grew up in the 80s, I know you didn't as much, but I went on my bike everywhere. Like, I knew the rules of the road just from riding my bike I got my bike when I was 8, my 10-speed, from my dad as a birthday present. I rode that thing everywhere.
Yeah.
So, it's just different, and kids today don't have that. And
our kids don't. Our kids don't.
Some kids do, but you still, like, it's not like, oh, you drive down to the store like you used to.
It's definitely less common. And to be fair, I did ride a bike a lot, but I just didn't use it as transportation. It was more recreation because I wasn't allowed to go past the end of our block until I got my driver's license.
I rode my bike to school in elementary school all the way to high school till I got a license.
My high school was at the top of a very steep hill. Like, it was...
Yeah, not, you couldn't...
It was not... Nobody rode their bike to my school.
I lived in a beach community. Yeah. It was pretty...
I lived in the mountains.
Flat.
So. Anyway, I think that is something that would help. She's going to do great. This is not like... It's more just a comment on the terror of being the person who's responsible...
For teaching
someone else to drive. Because I don't know. I'm not... Outside of that half an hour meeting, my only training is I know how to drive.
But with every session, it's like, it's like a little better and better.
Yeah. So. Yeah. She's going to get it. I just definitely appreciate both my parents and other parents who have like, oh man, it was horrible. You know, like, because when I was a kid, I'm like, what's the big deal? I'm learning to drive. And, you know, I think they kept it together pretty well. I had a fairly easy time, but like, I didn't realize how terrifying it would be for them. I didn't think about it, but it is. It's terrifying. Because this is the person that, like, you know, like, we raised from a tiny baby to now. So, you just don't think of them as also being able to pilot a vehicle on the road. Anyway, it's been fun, though.
I think, too, something that helped us was, I don't know, for me, I was the oldest. So, I always got to sit in the front seat. With my mom.
That's like, true.
Our kids are backseaters. Well, when we're together.
When we're all together, they definitely all take the backseat.
When they're both there, they choose to sit in the back together because they love each other.
Yeah, not as much anymore, though. Like, I mean, I would say since high school, they've done front seat because they are trying to, like, learn, you know. And I've been preparing them and talking about it, but it's just different. Like,
Being in second grade, because again, laws are changed, and I would watch my mom see what she did with the pedals and how she maneuvered the car. So,
yeah,
Yeah, it's a different time.
It is. Well, anyway, that's exciting. A lot of fun stuff going on around here, but we've got some things to catch up on.
Yes, we do.
First and foremost, we're going to jump into our recurring My Vacation Pants segment.
Put on your vacation pants.
Now, if you remember correctly, on our two last episodes, it's been a little chunk here, we're going over our summer vacation, which is going to take us into, like, next year's vacation at this rate, but whatever. This is what we set out to do, and we have to finish it now. So each episode, we're going to talk about one of the 12 states that we went on our summer trip. This one is going to be a quick one, because this was one of the states that we did not stay
in. Are you sure it's going to be quick? Because we did something quite amazing.
We did, but we were only there for less than a day. We drove through it, and so on today's My Vacation Pants, let's tell them about Kansas.
So, Kansas. There's no place like home.
That's right. We've been to Kansas before. We've stayed overnight there.
We have.
So, the kids were really little, though, so they didn't remember it very well.
So, we left the hills of Colorado and drove out east. Yeah, there's no Rocky Mountains out there very much.
It does peter out quickly, and Kansas is very flat. However, I would say this. We went to parts of Kansas that had some hills and like quite a bit more varied terrain than the last time we went there, because we went to different places. And there were some really beautiful parts.
Yeah, so we were driving along, probably played the alphabet game or something.
We did a number of those things.
But we saw a billboard that said the world's largest Czech egg.
Wait, not just the world's largest Czech egg, the world's largest hand-painted Czech egg. And when I say Czech, it's C-Z-E-C-H, Czech, as in the Czech Republic.
So I Googled it, and sure enough, it was right along our route.
And we were like, definitely. I mean, if there is a superlative, a world's largest or fastest or tallest or whatever.
If it's too far.
All possible, and if it's along our way, we will stop.
But this was like right off the freeway.
Yeah.
There were a couple other superlatives that were several minutes and would have taken an hour. This was a couple minutes off the freeway.
Keep in mind, we should mention too, this was, we're going from Colorado to Colorado Springs,
Oklahoma City,
to Tulsa, Oklahoma, a city
just
in Oklahoma,
not Oklahoma City, Tulsa.
And so we drove basically across the entire state of Kansas in one day. It was a little over a 10-hour drive. We normally don't like to do that long of a drive, but in order to give us more time at the later places, we decided let's do one big burst, and then we could have like shorter drives and spend longer. So we had one big long drive. So we really didn't have much time because it was already long. So that's why we had just enough time to do this. We pulled out, and the world's largest Czech egg. This is in a little town in the middle of Kansas, and it was glorious. Tell us about it.
Well, there were two other people there when we got there.
Yep.
They cleared out. We had the whole Czech egg to ourselves.
Do you remember how tall it was?
30 feet?
No, I think it was 25.
It was large.
Now I'm going to, like, double check
as you tell us more. I'm definitely going to post some of these on the story.
Yeah, you should. In fact, maybe the world's largest Czech egg. Yeah, do that.
I'll put it in the group.
World's largest hand-painted Czech egg. I keep saying it wrong.
So, there was an informational sign when we got there. Of course, Phil read every detail about it before we went there. So, the story is, there were many Czech immigrants that moved to this town
in Wilson, Kansas.
And they decided to just make a work of art to celebrate the Czech heritage in the area.
And bring some visitors to town.
And it was great.
Worked on us. The stats, by the way, I just looked it up. It is 20 feet high and 15 feet wide.
And we saw every aspect.
Yeah, we got lots of pictures. And it's the Czech egg capital of the United States.
There was a gift shop. It was closed, sadly. We would have bought stuff there. We drove through the town a little.
Got gas.
Yeah.
We got gas in another interesting place in Kansas. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was the second half after
we visited. Because it was a long drive. The other place that we stopped in Kansas, we only stopped Check egg. I think we like drove through a McDonald's or something at some point.
We did, because I have a picture of a McDonald's Kansas sign.
In Kansas, yeah. And then we stopped one other time for gas. That was the entire drive. That was it. Because our kids are old enough, they can handle it. And you had looked up along the route, like, the cheapest gas. And it was like, only like a, I don't know, 5-minute detour or something like that. And we're like, oh, that's worth it, you know, because it was, like, way cheaper than everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And you told me, like, you're navigating, you told me when to get off, and it was, like, the middle of nowhere. I'm like, are you sure? And you're like, oh, it's down this road. That's what it shows. And we just are driving in the middle of, like, pastures. Yeah. Like, it was a single lane road. Like, I think it might have even been gravel for a while. It was. And we were just out, there's slightly hills, you know, so we were kind of going along these, like, very, very, very low hills, and I'm like, are you sure there's, like, cows and goats and everything? And I'm like, I don't know. And we come around this corner around, like, a very low hill.
And there's a pump.
And there's just, a single pump out in the middle of nowhere.
I have a video of it, so I'll post that,
too. I mean, maybe there was, like, double-sided. It might have had, like, one on either side, but it was just a very, no, very small. No, it was just one pump. And, like, there's no station. There's no, like, buildings. It's just the pump, but it's operated by credit card.
And both Luke and I had to go to the bathroom. I think that's why we stopped at the McDonald's. Well,
that's right. That's the only other time that we needed to. So you were, I'm like, you can go in the bathroom. And instead, Luke found a tree at the edge of the woods. Because there was nothing else around for miles and miles and miles.
Did we go to that hamburger place we love in Kansas?
Brahms? Maybe. We did go to a Brahms.
That's pretty close to Texas.
I thought we went in Oklahoma,
though. Maybe.
I don't remember. We might have, like, had one more, like, fast food stop. I don't remember.
Because it was a long drive. I'm sure we stopped
to eat. It's possible. But really, that's it. We didn't do anything else except a couple of drive-thrus, maybe, a couple of gas stops, and the check egg. And that was the entire state of Kansas for us on this trip. Obviously.
Yeah, we've spent time there.
Yes.
There's no place like home.
It was great. So, that's our...
The gas station, one of the gas stations we stopped at had a lot of Wizard of Oz stuff.
Oh, that's right. We did stop at another gas station. That one was near Wilson, I think.
So many Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
That's right. So, it was good. Again, some surprising terrain, hills, and really pretty stuff that... I assumed all of Kansas was, you know, much flatter and
when you get close to Oklahoma and you get close to Missouri, there's hills.
And coming out of Colorado, you got, you know, so there's some interesting stuff. We definitely have to spend more time in Kansas, but this is our second trip there. That's it. That's it for this week. Next week, give them a preview. What state are we going to?
Oklahoma! O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A! Oklahoma! Oh, I went up because I was a soprano in choir.
Oh, yeah. Perfect harmony that we had there. So, yeah, we will be talking to you about that next week on My Vacation Pants. But right now, it's time for video games.
Video games!
Okay, we've been trying to catch up on some segments that we haven't done for a long time. Each of the last couple of episodes, we've talked about large chunks of other things. We haven't talked about video games in forever.
Yeah.
So we're not going to, like, go into great detail on anything, but we'll just do some highlights here, because we haven't talked about video games in a while. Tell us what games you've been playing in your convalescence.
Well, my two video games, well, I've been played more, but the two I've been really playing a lot are Animal Crossing. I started A Town on My Burden, which was the video game that I held on my lap a couple summers ago, the video game system
Switch. Your Animal Crossing themed Switch.
Yes. I've built my old town. I have 5 stars. I have so much money. A couple million.
Yeah.
Bells.
Doing pretty good.
It's just fun. It's just fun to create your own town. And then for my birthday, you guys got a second copy of Animal Crossing so that we could visit each other's towns.
Because you do have to have your own cartridge to have. Well, you can have the same cartridge go on a different system, but you have to have each of you have to have a cartridge to visit at the same time.
And it was so worth it because, like, you guys gave me a lot because I didn't have a lot, but I've even been able to give our town things we didn't have.
We were able to use it to trade fruits and items and all kinds of stuff.
I got my 5 stars a lot faster.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I've been playing a lot of during my recovery is Suika.
The Suika game, yeah.
And it's a puzzle game where you drop fruit of the varying sizes and then they join together to make bigger fruits and you have to join them together before it gets up over the jar.
Yeah. His watermelon game is another name that goes by sometimes. We've talked about it before. It's a pretty popular game. It's so people fun. Might know about it.
And for the longest time, I never matched a watermelon because you need to get 2 like honeydews or something to match a watermelon. And I never had gotten one. And we've had this game for over a year. And I got one convalescence. But nobody in the family has been able to join 2 watermelons.
2 watermelons has not happened yet.
We don't know what happens even when you join 2 watermelons.
Now, we haven't talked about video games since, I want to say, like, April or May or something. So I'm just going to give some highlights here in addition to that. Luke and I played entirely through this game on the Switch called Tunic. T-U-N-I-C.
I remember that.
On the surface, it kind of looks almost like a Zelda-like game. Some would even say maybe, like, Zelda knockoff a little bit. He plays a little fox, but wears, like, a green tunic and has a sword and he's a hero. And it, on the surface, at the very beginning, it looks like Zelda. But I am telling you guys, and I say this with 100% confidence, this game leaped up to my top 10, maybe even top 5 video games.
What?
Of all time. Easily. Like, I do not even hesitate. It is phenomenal. Because it's not just a video game. It involves real world mysteries, and I don't want to even spoil anything, but as Luke and I played through it together, we would every session scream out loud by discovering something new.
You would like tell me to look something up for it, but say, don't tell us, we want to figure it out.
Yeah, like again, I don't want to spoil anything, but there are physical elements in the real world, there are just puzzles to solve and things that you have no idea how incredibly involved and amazing this game is. I cannot recommend it enough.
Can you play it single player too?
Yeah. It is a single player game, but there's so much logic, physical things, and puzzle solving that we like worked on solving those things together. Mm-hmm. Like, Luke had already played through kind of most of the game by himself, but You can play, it's one of the, it works on multiple levels. You could just play the video game, beat the boss, and be done with it, and not really, like, know what is in the game. But its fourth wall breaking, real world interaction is just on a level I've never seen before in a video game. Absolutely incredible. I couldn't recommend it enough. Tunic, it's on Nintendo Switch. I think it's probably on other systems, maybe. But it's definitely on Nintendo Switch, so there you go. Let's see, other, just kind of, if you guys remember correctly, at Comic-Con I mentioned that I won a $50 eShop card.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of the games that I got, I haven't even played all of them yet because I got so many games with my $50, but a couple of games I got with it, I got a game called Amazing Breaker, which is kind of like a mix between like a Peggle, kind of like Arkanoid or that kind of thing. Anyway, it's got shaped pictures, you know, like think like an Arkanoid or Breakout or whatever. And you have to use the different items that it gives you to blow them up. Very fun. Played a lot of that. Ubongo is a really fun video game.
Ubongo!
Very fun, like, puzzle. And it's 4 players. It's almost kind of like, what's the thing that you always tell everyone it's not, but it is? Tangrams. Where you have, like, different shapes and you got to fit them into the right puzzle. But I know tangrams are a very specific set of them.
It's not tangrams.
I said it's like that.
It is, but they're not tangrams.
Did I say like? I use it as a simile, not a metaphor.
Pattern blocks would be more.
No.
But even that's not right.
All right. We also, other like 4-player ones we played, Puzzle Bobble, Every Bubble, which is like a Puzzle Bobble / Bust a Move like multiplayer game we've been playing through.
That one's fun.
That's very fun. Puzzle and Dragons, which is another puzzle game on the Switch.
Yeah.
That's a good one together. Let's see. Luke has beaten like every Mario game in chronological order, starting at the original Super Mario Brothers, up till up until a point. I think he's on New Super Mario Brothers on the DS now. So every 3D one and 2D one, handheld and otherwise, he's played through and 100%ed them. Pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
And on the original hardware, like he's been pulling out the old stuff, you know. What else? Also, Luke and I played through Box Boy and Box Girl on the Switch. That was really fun. Good platform puzzling type thing. That is multiplayer. We've now, the one that Luke and I are playing through is Four Swords, Legend of Zelda Four Swords on the Switch, you know, the Nintendo Switch Online.
And now we're playing a listener connection.
That's right. This one is exciting. The main one that we've been playing as a four-player family recently is called Curse of the Sea Rats. It's a four-player simultaneous, like, Metroidvania adventure type game.
And we liked it so much.
We sent it to listener of the show, and also my brother, D-E-W.
Yeah, at Dew. It was his birthday.
It was his birthday, yes. But so he played it and then, like, passed us up and beat it already. Us. But we have, you know, less, because we're playing with all four of us, so it's got to be all Audrey four of us available to do
has
it.
Has to be home, too.
And Audrey's busy.
I don't know if we said, but she is in the school play.
She's also in the school play, that's right.
And she has practice, like, every night of the week.
Except Wednesdays, when she has improv practice.
Right. So she's at school late, and it'll just get more and more late.
Yeah.
So we have limited time with Audrey, but she's having so much fun and living her best teenage life.
But he's already at, like, 95% of the game or something, and we're at, like, 25, and we got it before him and started it. So anyway, it's really fun, though. And finally, in the video game section, I have to mention The Longing, which I haven't brought up in a while, but as you may or may not know, The Longing is a meta alternative type video game, and within the game of The Longing there's books you can read, and I have very slowly but gradually been reading through the entire book of Moby Dick on The Longing. I would like to be the first person to actually do it. I have a feeling that I might still have a chance, because I don't know who else is reading Moby Dick entirely on The Longing, but I'm doing it, so it's time to go into fiction books.
You like fiction books?
Fiction books is one of my favorite kinds of books. Do you like fiction?
Like it. I try to love it.
That's crazy.
I've never met anyone else who likes fiction.
We're going to kick off with Moby Dick. That's the connection there, video games into fiction books. I read Moby Dick chapter 19, which is called The Prophet. Now, I'm 19 chapters in. According to The Longing, it has smaller pages, but 422 pages of video game pages in. They're much smaller, so it would be less. And they haven't left on the journey yet, still. So they have signed up. The last chapter, you might remember, they signed up. This is, of course, Ishmael and Queequeg, the two friends. You know, they signed up to go on the Pequod, which is Captain Ahab's ship, to go out whaling. But now that they've signed up, they get to go back on shore to, like, get their final provisions and preparations. So as they walk off the ship, they're met by a mysterious man who looks like he was injured in some way. Probably like a beggar or something, but like he looks at them with interest. Mm. He asks them if they signed up on that ship, and they're like, yeah. And they're like, what did they tell you about Captain Ahab? And they're like, I don't know, just regular stuff. And they kind of hints that there may be more to Captain Ahab than the surface. And they're like, I don't know, he's like a tough captain, and he lost his leg, and he's like, that's all they told you? And they're like, what? What's your secret? And he's like, oh, and he's like, it's easy to be mysterious and not really have something to tell. And he's like, fine, I don't have to tell you then. So they walk away, but they notice over their shoulder, oh, they find out his name is Elijah. I don't know if it comes back into play later or not, but they see over their shoulder that he's like following them secretly.
Wow.
And they eventually like shake him at the end, but they're like, what's going on? Who is this Captain Ahab? And that was the chapter.
There you go.
Moby Dick. So maybe with chapter 20, they'll actually leave on their journey.
Maybe.
Maybe. Many books don't get to a chapter 20, and we haven't even started yet.
What else have we been reading?
Here's the thing. We've read so much, because we haven't talked about books since before the summer. One of the things we did on our summer trip, because we were gone for like 4 weeks, and we had limited luggage, you know, because we're flying out there. And so we wanted to have books to read, but we couldn't, you know, for 4 weeks, I'm going to read a lot of books, and I couldn't fit all of that in my backpack. So what we did is, each of us picked a few books that we all might be interested in reading, and then we read them and took turns trading books around in each read all the books. So that by the end of the summer, the goal was to have read, we brought 16 books, basically, four per person. And by the end of the summer, we would all have read the same 16 books.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost panned out.
Audrey beat you.
Audrey did. Well, because she actually brought one extra one, which was a book for her English class. And it was an Ayn Rand book, and no one else. I read it because I was going to, you know, I read along with the kids with their books, but no one else was going to read that. I read them all, but Audrey beat me to it.
She was sitting in the back seat.
Yeah, and I was driving. That 10-hour drive, I was driving, she was reading. So I had an advantage. I'm not saying I couldn't have. Luke has not quite finished them all, but he's read most of them.
She was ready for us to get her some new books.
Oh, yeah. Like, about a week from the end of it, we went to a bookstore and got her more books. South Dakota. because, you know, used bookstore, picked up some good stuff. I got some good stuff, too. You read not as many, but you did read a lot more fiction books than you normally do.
I did.
Tell us briefly, what did you read?
I started off with The Great Turkey Walk.
Fantastic book.
And I was pleasantly surprised by how engaging and amazing. I thought it was going to be like a cheesy kid's book, and it was not.
No, it was like historical fiction and really well done.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, keep going. We got to go rapid fire for you. I read
a book of Lucy Maud Montgomery short stories.
Yes, this one was Across the Miles, I believe. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, this was the letters one.
The letters.
Yeah, Across the Miles, because they write letters across to each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed it very much. It was very Lucy Maud Montgomery-ish. A lot of fun stories.
There are still a few Lucy Maud Montgomery short stories I haven't read, but this brings me one closer. I've read every novel she wrote and probably 75% now of her short stories. Yeah. So.
And then I read
39 Clues.
39 Clues.
Yeah, so we had a couple of series of books that we'd gotten, like, the first few books, and no one had read them. And I'm like, why are we keeping these? No one's reading them. Let's check them out. One of them was the 39 Clues.
And it was great.
Super good. And I want to read the rest of them. So.
And we have a lot of them, right?
We do.
Not all of them.
The problem is we have, like, 1 and 2, but then we have 4, 6, 8, and 12 or something like that. Yeah. So
we'll come across them as we do it. So that was, like, National Treasure for kids.
Yeah, really cool.
And then I am reading another book that you've recently read. Yep. This wasn't on the summer challenge.
No.
Because the summer's over and we're going to read all those books eventually, but there's other things we want to read. So well, you finished it and Audrey did, but Luke and I are still working on it. Audrey read this book for her English honors class, and it's called And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. I've got like a quarter of it left, but it's so good. I've never read a murder mystery.
You've never read an Agatha Christie book at all, right? Yeah, it's a phenomenal book. Probably my favorite of hers, but
it's really good.
I also love Hercule Poirot and Ms. Marple and stuff like that, but it's a great book.
It's a great book.
Okay, I'm going to give like a brief rundown of what I've read. One of the things I've been doing, and I didn't do this during the summer, but before the summer and after we got back, I've been reading through all of Madeline L'Engle's, not all of her books, but she wrote A Wrinkle in Time, and I realized
that's the play Audrey's doing.
That's right. But I did this before we knew that she was in that. And I realized I have all these other books by her, and I never really read any others. And in looking at it, I found that not only did she write this series of A Wrinkle in Time, but she wrote a few other series that all intermingle and the characters cross over. A Wrinkle in Time, of course, is very much a fantastical book series. But then, like, this other one, The Austens, very much takes place in the real world. And I was like, how do they interact? How do these two come together? So I looked up a thing on the internet about, like, you know, the not just chronological by publishing, but how to read the books in order so that, like, the stories all come together. And I'm deep in the midst of it. I still don't know exactly how they interact because they're still, like, back and forth. But eventually they're going to come together, and I'm very excited. I've read A Wrinkle in Time, A Wind in the Door, Many Waters, A Swiftly Tilting Planet, The Austen Christmas Stories, Meet the Austens, and The Anti-Muffins. And I'm still working my way through that, but fascinating thus far.
It's great.
She's an interesting writer. I like it Like, after A Wrinkle in Time, you think, like, that's really weird, and it only gets weirder from there. Let's see. One of the last things that you read was The Ghoul of Windy Down Vale.
Yeah.
Which was the last of the Jake Burt books that you hadn't read.
Yeah.
Just wanted to bring that up, because don't forget to go back and listen to our Jake Burt episode. He's great. Let's see. Some other highlights from the book challenge. We read Darnell Rock Reporting, which was just kind of a cool one about the power of writing and having an individual voice. I like that. You haven't read that one yet.
No.
The other series we read, one of them was called Voyagers and the other one is called Infinity Ring. These are these kind of like targeted at like middle grade readers, kind of these serial books that would come out, and each one is written by a different author. So some interesting stuff. I enjoyed both of those and I would like to read more of those as well. But I think 39 Clues of those types were the ones I was most excited about. We read a new book by Lisa Graff, Rewind. Very, very fun. I don't think this is a spoiler since it shows it on the front, but has some similarities with like a Back to the Future type of plot. Very, very different, but you know, there's some time travel and goes back and sees like her parents, you know, in the past. Really, really, really good.
Cool.
Lisa Graff has also, I guess she hasn't been on this show, but we've had her on, I had her on Radio Breno Man before, so very cool. Also read a new Goren Corman book, The Mix-Up. Very good, of course. All Goren Corman books are. And finally, another one I want to mention, Emmy and the Incredible Shrinking Rat. This one was a lot of fun. It was like Roald Dahl and Tim Burton all mixed into one in a really creative story, and liked that one a lot too. So, yeah, probably others. I can't name every single one because there's a lot, but we read a lot of books. We like to read.
It's like you like books.
Like to read a lot.
I also read Weird Colorado.
No, ooh, this is fiction books.
Real? Yes. The stories?
Yes, it's no, it's really about real stuff. Whether or not the beliefs of the people involved are real, it's about stuff that exists, or it's a documentary about
it. In preparation for our trip.
No, that's fiction. And fiction.
I got a lot of really cool travel books.
Fiction.
I'm looking forward to looking at.
Those are all those fiction books path. Only. No.
It's not fair that the genre I prefer to read, it doesn't have a section.
It's not my fault. I don't make the rules.
It's not your fault. You literally make the rules.
It's called fiction books. We can't.
And so do I.
We can't go outside of that. There's nothing I can do. I'm sorry.
Where am I going to put it then?
I'm sorry I can't help you.
Where am I going to put my travel books?
On the shelf with your other travel books. Nothing I can do.
Just so you guys know, I do read. I don't play video games only. And I don't only watch TV and movies. I read.
You can't talk about those other things in the segment.
I read as well.
I can't believe it. This is just terrible.
I just want you to know I do read a lot.
I'm going to bring it back to fiction. The last one I want to talk about is a book I'm currently reading. I'm about halfway through this. It's a book called The Great Good Thing by Roderick Townley. This is one just I randomly picked it up at a book sale at the library. It looked interesting artwork and title-wise. The back cover had a review from James Howe, who wrote Bunnicula. So I thought that seemed fun. I don't know. I'm only halfway through, so I can't, like, make a complete judgment, but
you read me the first three pages.
Yeah, very, like, cool setup, very, like, meta storytelling, very unique. And I was telling the kids, one of the things I love about it is, like, I just got to the end of, you know, there's chapters and there's, like, big sections. It's divided into four sections with chapters in each. So I just got finished with, like, halfway through with a big section. I have no idea where the story's going. I don't know what the structure is. I don't know.
What if it's a real letdown?
It could be, but thus far, it has been fascinating.
It was all a dream.
Yeah, it could be something like that, but I just feel like the feeling of not knowing and really, really having a story that you're not sure where it's going, I love it. And if he can pull it off, bring this thing home to something that's like satisfying and I don't know what's happening, I will love it so much.
Or hate it.
Or hate it. We'll see. It reminds me of, like, James Riley's Story Thieves, somewhat in concept, but also just in the unconventional way that it goes. And I just love that. That feeling, fantastic. Very satisfying.
All right.
Okay, one final short segment, and then we're going to call it, it's time for music. Music. Okay, we just had to top music real quick because we got a couple things. First of all, we have a new 7-inch coming up very soon from Upside Down Room. Very cool. It'll be our second 7-inch we've ever made with Popbox Music, so that's exciting. It's not here yet, but I just want to get you hyped up for it. I also have been talking with Upside Down Room about the possibility of doing a picture disc, which would be really cool.
Mm.
So we'll see how that happens. Who knows? But the other thing I wanted to mention was just a really cool show that I got to go to the other day. The Beautiful Mistake is a band that played, I think they probably got their start, like I want to say around 2001, maybe something in there. Josh Hagquist of the band was in the band Ember before that. We actually had Ember play at a Blue Christmas back in the Viola days. So I've known them, I mean not well, but you know, known them for years and years. Saw them play a couple times throughout the years. And I think the last time I saw them play was in like 2008. And I think they did one reunion show like a few years ago, but I wasn't able to catch it. But they did another series, like they're playing at a festival this summer. And so they did a series of two concerts locally in Southern California to get ready for it. And so Luke and I actually went out to see them play, and it was super cool to see them. They did a great job. We got to go up and talk to Josh afterwards, which was cool. A, because he's a great guy and a great band, and B, it's cool to get to, like, show off to your kid that, like, I just know the people in the band, you know, so.
Luke's really been following in your footsteps in the music.
He and I, Audrey loves music, too, and I share a lot with Audrey in music and stuff, and she's very passionate about it as well, but whereas Audrey has spent much of her attention on theater recently, Luke has been super into music. And just listening to albums and talking about bands and playing music. It's been a lot of fun. We've definitely had a lot of fun connection there. So the way that, you know, Audrey was tired. She'd been doing theater stuff and she's got a heavy schedule. It was a late, late show. You couldn't go because you were recovering. So she stayed home with you and kept you company. And Luke went with me and it was really fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've enjoyed every stage of our children's development, but they're in a really fun stage right now where, like, they share interests with us.
It makes them growing up a little easier.
It does. I miss so many things about them being tiny, but there's a lot of fun stuff about them being the age they are now.
Yeah.
So.
Everybody said.
Oh, just wait till they become teenagers.
Wait till they become teenagers. Yeah. We'll hate you.
No. Boo. They're awesome. It's a lot of fun having teenagers.
Yeah, it really is.
Just because I'm scared of driving doesn't mean it's because of a bad teenager. That's just terrifying in general.
Yeah. It'd be terrifying to teach anybody who didn't know how to drive. Right. To drive.
Well, terrifying as it may be, I think it's time to bring this episode to its parking spot.
Oh! See what you did there.
It's time to close it down. I think we have maybe one other segment that we've let sit for a long time that we'll have to catch up on next time, which is board games. So we'll catch up on that next time.
Yeah.
But we got to bring this to a close. You got to go recover. We're recording this while the kids are at school.
Yeah.
So we don't have too much more time to do it.
I'm pooped.
Yeah. You're a pooped pumpernickel. That's what you always say.
I am a pooped pumpernickel.
Did you make that up or is that like a phrase you heard somewhere?
I'm pretty sure I made that up.
Because I feel like
I said that.
I feel like that's a real thing, but it's only because I've heard you say that for so long.
Pooped pumpernickel? You've heard other people say that?
I don't know. Maybe it just...
I gotta look it up.
You're deeply ingrained into my psyche.
I wanna see if pooped pumpernickel is a saying.
Alright, while you look that up, I'm gonna remind our listeners, please write to us at mandarinorangeshow@gmail.com. You know, give us any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns, and let us know if you've ever heard of the phrase pooped pumpernickel before Janelle said it. Because I kind of thought that was just a phrase, but maybe you just invented that?
I invented that. There's nobody who has said that. It just brought up the definition for pumpernickel.
What about pooped?
No. It skipped over that.
All right. Well, maybe Janelle
it's
invented
mine.
It. Tell us, dear listeners, if you've ever heard that. MandarianOrangeShow@gmail.com. Don't forget to do our challenge, which is to find our Patreon, Mandarian Orange Show, and do the free subscription following thing for now. And let us know if you have any feedback on that.
Any
that would be
ideas?
Wonderful. I think it's ready to go, but you know, just
yeah.
Our core helpers there. If anyone's got any thoughts,
before we start promoting live it. With our sponsorship.
Yeah, and we're going to have a lot of new listeners coming in with that banner, I'm sure. So, and if you're listening, you know, going back a couple episodes because you saw the banner, welcome. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Hope you like the improv because they're really funny.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode, Janelle.
Yes, it is.
So for the Mandarin Orange Show, I'm Phil.
And I'm Janelle.
And we talk so you don't have to. It's no cup of tea. It's no cup of tea.
It's no cup of tea.
It's no cup of tea. It's no cup of tea from my book.